morning. Today is Thursday, March the 17th. You guys seen any green rivers today?
Well, I've got green on.
I got my tie, see?
It's there. That's turquoise.
I have no green on.
I don't want to get that close to you. Damien's got, what would that color be, Fred?
Teal. That is kind of a tealish.
Which is in the what spectrum?
Blue.
I forgot what day St. Patrick's Day was, so I've been wearing this shirt for 3 days.
Good answer.
Oh, so there is some green on it somewhere then. Okay, good.
But on the note of green, we are here to talk about the Lager's Red and Green.
Okay.
Nice segue.
So, Fred, who'd you bring along here that's getting so lippy so early?
I'm happy to have Dale Maples with us today.
Well, I'm glad one of us is.
I bleed red and green. Everyone knows that.
Oh, then you don't have a team in the NC2As, do you? I don't think there's a red and green. Is there? I don't think so.
I don't think so. Oh. Yeah. Well, you know, I will say the Loggers made the top 10 mascots in the nation.
Eureka High Loggers or Loggers?
I think Eureka High is the only Loggers that I'm aware of out there anywhere.
Oh, and Minnesota's got to have a Logger somewhere. I mean, can't be Lumberjacks.
I've never heard of one.
Really?
Never heard of one. Another example on that top 10 list was the Horned Toads of Coalinga.
Ah, not to be confused with the Horned Frogs of TCU. Sorry, I just, more knowledgeable, I know, as you're more knowledgeable of high school, I'm more knowledgeable of college.
I've always liked the Loggers logo. I've always been proud that it represents really the historical part that is Eureka.
Yeah, I like the script. Some of the when we were going through the goofy icon thing, it was like, really? It looks like a mutant. Paul Bunyan returns. So, Fred, what is Dale here for? I'm sure we're not here just to discuss Logger logos.
Actually, we are. We are.
Oh, you're going to blow that one up too?
Yeah, we're going to talk about the water tower a little bit and the Logger logo.
Oh, is that finally coming to pass?
It is.
Ah, okay.
It is.
Cool. We got some interesting. Let me see if I can find a quote here that's somewhat appropriate to you, Fred. I wonder, logging? You think there's something in here about logging? Probably not. There's lips, lilacs.
Yeah, so as interesting as you look for
fill the void, will you?
Yeah, I will. I had to give Damien a hard time about the question of the day. Should we have spring break or not?
Is it called spring break or Easter break?
It's spring break because it's not tied to Easter. I get the little push there.
Thank you very much.
So I just want to put my plug in for, yes, we should remain having spring break.
When is it?
Spring break is in April, starts on April 11th. And so it's not tied to Easter. What it's tied to now is
Tax day.
Halfway between, halfway between January and the end of the year. So it gives the students a break because, you know, interesting.
Do you get President's Week, though? Or is it President's Day?
It's President's Week now.
Okay.
So I'm sorry, you're right. It's halfway between President's Week and the end of the school year. And the interesting thing is March nationwide is the highest month of disciplinary issues in schools. And so that break is really needed for the students. Unfortunately, I don't always get the break, but it is needed for the students.
It's also the highest month for what I like to call senioritis. I have a senior at Eureka High, and man, is he about ready to be done.
Continues. Our quick quote here. A man is as old as he feels. A woman is as old as she looks. We'll be back.
You've never heard us before because we're something brand new. It's called Destination Radio. If you live in Ferndale or Gold Beach, Blue Lake or Klamath, Brookings or Eureka, you'll be looking for someplace different to take the family, something special to do next weekend. The best destinations for day trips and overnights, for hiking or biking, for beachcombing or birdwatching, and you'll turn to us for ideas, because you're the reason we're here, to help you find your close-to-home destination. Stay, play, and relax with us. Destination Radio.
You're a vendor.
Good. Good morning. KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Fred Van Fleck and Dale Maples. So Fred, this the concept of the water tower or the Martian landing ship, depending on what era you came in the middle of Eureka, the high tower, I think is, or high water tower, I think is what the city officially calls it, has been rumored for years that there's an opportunity there. Now, when Dale and I were going through, it was called, I think it was the ag program kids that would climb up there and spray paint. And then it went into the era of gang stuff. And then it went into a whole different use as they redeveloped that block. What's got you guys this excited here?
Well, actually, I'm going to turn it over to Dale and let him talk a little bit about it because he's really the lead on that.
You want to be revisiting the water tower, sir?
I'll be revisiting the water tower legally this time.
Oh, congratulations. Daytime.
This water tower, as you know, is we're talking about the water tower at the intersection of Harrison L., right by Harrison K. Market. You know, it's been around there forever. The water tower as it sits there now is probably about, it's less than 10 years old. It's a newer water tower replacement.
Right, they did that whole fix up when they were doing the fire.
Well, they actually tore the old water tower down and built a new one. So it's actually about, probably about 50 feet away from where the other tower sat.
And it's interesting how many people don't realize that this is a new water tower.
This is a new water tower. And, so this is a great project, and the city council has given its blessing for Eureka City Schools to place on the water tower on the east and west elevations the Loggers logo. Say something like Eureka, home of the Loggers, east and west, and that's the way Harris Street runs, east and west.
So one on the Myrtletown side, one on the Bay side.
Exactly.
Okay.
And I think it's a very exciting project, and really, the idea for the project, Brian, is to bring to the forefront the impact that is Eureka City Schools and to build advocacy for Eureka City Schools, not just with parents of students, but with Eureka at large. And it's I believe, and many others believe, that the more advocates we can have for Eureka City Schools, the better Eureka City Schools can be. And I really think that Eureka City Schools, at its core, represents the health of our community. You know,
schools are barometers.
Yeah. I think one of the reasons why people choose to say yes or no for moving or not moving to Eureka is they'll look and see, you know, how the school systems are. They'll look and gauge the health of the school systems. And a healthy school system is a healthy Eureka.
So. Yeah, I suppose a good reference point for that also, Fred, is bond measures, which equate to trust. And right. There certainly has been a speckled past.
No bond money in the water tower. No. All private donations. I want to make that point right now.
I wasn't even going there. What I was thinking is, at least for me, and Dale's experiences have been different, obviously. When I think back the last 25 years, school closures, how were they handled? Bond monies, how were they positioned? How were they executed? How were they handled? What's the trust? How things have changed? I mean, going from the middle school, or from junior high, and the three-year high school to a four-year. I mean, there have been some, what most communities would perceive as significant changes along the way, in addition to less kids going through.
Right. Half our size we once were.
Well, and you're in half as many neighborhoods. Mm-hmm. Yeah, somebody was talking about seeing a kid. The studios here are located in the neighborhood of Lafayette. Of seeing a kid walking.
I have a student at Lafayette.
Yeah. I'm still Worthington at my core. Of seeing kids walking from beyond Franklin, the old Franklin, which mm-hmm. is now the Office of Ed. And seeing them walking and going in at Lafayette. You know, the concept of neighborhood school is applicable in some areas, but it's not in others. And I would think that makes part of this thing even more challenging because there isn't that neighborhoodness a lot of times.
That's actually a national phenomenon that's going on right now. And what's happened nationally is we've gone, and I've said this before, from a front yard nation to a backyard nation. And a front yard nation is where all the kids play out in the front yard. When the street lights go on, you're supposed to go home. and a lot of trust level that's out there amongst the neighborhood. And I think as parents have learned more about what's happening in our world, not just our community here, but in our nation, they get less trusting of their children being out playing in the front yard, and we've gone to the backyard where the kids go and play in the backyard. And part of that phenomenon has gone from moving from neighborhood schools to taking their children to the schools that they want them to attend. And that isn't always a neighborhood school. And if you think about this, this is one of the things that goes along with childhood obesity, is most of our children don't walk to school anymore. It's, in fact, less than 50% of our population at most schools walk, where it used to be more than that. So the since the parents are driving their children to school, what's the difference if they drive them to the school that's just down the road or the school that's 2 miles away?
Yeah, take a left-hand turn or a right-hand turn, what diff?
Right.
Yeah, but there certainly is a lot more traffic around 7:45 to 8:15.
Yep.
In every community than there used to be.
And it's created the need, and this was part of Measure S, of developing these very safe drop-off areas, which we're doing at each of our elementary schools, because we have such a higher volume of parent traffic dropping off their children at the schools.
So as you have that condition, I don't even think it would be considered a phenomenon. It's just kind of what is anymore going on. Is there still that connectiveness to the school? I suppose that's what we'll talk about when we come back.
Sounds like
I almost got him to talk. It's 8:30.
What could we do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Fred Van Fleck and Dale Maples. Dale, this morning, is representing the community with Eureka City Schools. And Fred is Fred.
Yeah. Well, those
guys, we were talking about bringing the connections of the community back into the schools and the challenges of not having the neighborhood schools or some neighborhoods not having schools at all. How do you kind of mush that together so that there's still that feeling that that's my school, particularly with the transfer abilities? You know, somebody from one side of town could take their kid to the other side of town if they got the kid enrolled. So it's not, things have changed. Have they changed so much that the connection has been lost?
Well, things do change. I can give you one example of that kind of a change. I can remember that before, just a few years ago, when we just had one middle school in Eureka, Zane, and Winship was dormant for a couple of years. People were, just very reluctant to send their child, their middle schooler, to a school that was that, you know, full. I was, but we did. And our son went through Zane. It was an incredibly great experience. And I have a daughter going to Zane next year on purpose because we love that experience. And now you fast forward about 3 or 4 years or even 5 years from that experience, and Winship is open again. And Zane all of a sudden has become a very desired campus to go to. So, you know, things change quickly and school schools change quickly. And, well, you're laughing.
I'm laughing because I was Zane and you were Winship, and I'm trying not to jump on you.
Yeah, I know. I
that's what I'm laughing about.
I grew up a Viking, but we're proud Falcons now. And we're even prouder Loggers, and that's what I want to speak to. You know, when you think about Eureka City Schools, I think it's good when you think about Eureka High. You know, that's the flagship. Eureka High is the flagship of Eureka City Schools. It's a beautiful structure. It's a great historical architectural work in Eureka. I've always thought it looked like a movie backdrop, and so does the stadium, Albee Stadium. And the Loggers, you know, is the logo. It's the icon for Eureka High, which really is the icon for Eureka City Schools. And the idea, coming back to the Water Tower Project, is to do just that, Brian, is to engage the community, the entire community, whether you have a student in Eureka City Schools or not, and to recognize the impact that Eureka City Schools is. I assert this morning that Eureka City Schools has the largest impact on the city of Eureka. between 4,000 and 5,000 students on every day, and hundreds of administrators and staff every day. And then you, on a larger level, probably around 7,000 to 8,000 parents, and all the transactions, economic, that occur on a daily and weekly basis with vendors in Eureka, you're talking about an impact of somewhere in the neighborhood of 15,000 to 16,000 people every day. There isn't another institution in Eureka that makes that impact. I don't believe that anything comes close. And for Eureka to be engaged and to recognize that and to advocate for Eureka City Schools, when you see the impact that Eureka High and Eureka City Schools makes, it's just better for everybody. And so the Water Tower Project is really about bringing and putting in front of the residents of Eureka, Eureka City Schools every day. Yeah, we want them to be Loggers fans. Yeah, we want Loggers helmets, icons in the windows of the vendors and shops of Eureka. And I believe that that when people do that, then they in turn will become advocates for Eureka City Schools. When you advocate for something, that means you participate in it. You give to it. You engage in it with your hands and feet. And when you engage in something with your hands and feet, it becomes a community entity. And when it's a community entity, it just is better because everybody's caring for it. Everybody wants it to be better. They speak of it in better ways. And when you put something up and you speak of it in a better way, it is better. And so that's what the Water Tower Project is about. It is about building that circle of advocacy for everyone in Eureka, whether you're a parent or not.
Fred, you've been in a number of communities. When Dale was talking, I was writing down the communities that I'm aware of that are, it's the high school is the center of the community life. Okay. Fortuna, they've got it. Ferndale, who's got it. And Brookings, they've got it. Other than that, I don't see it to the extent that Dale's talking about. Arcata, you got a lot of the Humboldt State influence, so they're not kids that went through the school. Mm-hmm. McKinleyville, a lot of those folks don't spend their daytimes in McKinleyville. They spend them in Eureka. So is it for a community of 50,000, and let's call it that, is it possible to get to the point that Dale's talking about, to have that interaction, that recognition, and that commitment, and will you see 5,000 people showing up to a football game? Will you see the gym full at the basketball game? Not because the kids are winning, but in support of the kids.
Well, I think it absolutely can be there. And that's one of those things you take a step at a time. And I think you're underplaying the influence that Eureka High School has on the community, because I think it really is, to a lot of people, the center of the community. I think about, my dad's still here. He graduated in 1962. And you walk around the community and you talk about the different people and the story they have going through Eureka High School and their memories there. I think it's a bigger part than what you think. But the challenge is invigorating them and bringing them together to really support the high school and engaging them, because sometimes, as we are an aging community, and a community where a lot of our younger people have moved out, as I've said before, we're half the size that we once were because of the evolving population in our community, a lot of it tied to industry, is engaging some of the generations that in the past went through Eureka High School and are no longer directly connected because they don't have children there. And I think that's exactly what the possibility is of this doing. Those alumni that are out there absolutely is a very important component of Eureka High School.
KINS News and Information Times, 8:42. We'll be back with more from Fred Van Fleck and Dale Maples.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:47. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Fred Van Fleck and Dale Maples. So, guys, when is the water tower going to get its red and gold? Where am I? I'm still at Zane. Sorry, Dale. Red and green. That was almost smooth, wasn't it?
Golden.
Well, that's going to cost us a little bit of money, Brian. We need around $19,000, and we're chipping away at that. We've got a few thousand to get going, but we have just launched our fundraising campaign, so I'm hopeful that we can get those letters up before the start of the fall 2016 semester. That's my hope. We have a design. We have a local person, All Points, who is going to do it for us, and so we're well underway with the design. We're just working on the funds.
And all the permits and all that stuff are all taken care of?
Yes.
We have one more step that we have to go through the city, but we're pretty close to being there right now. Mm-hmm. Yep.
You mentioned, Brian, about how do you do that? How do you you see it in some other small communities, and Fred challenged you a little bit that we actually have more of it in Eureka. But what I wanted to say is that it's harder for Eureka High, but it's a good heart. We do for many cultures what other school systems do for a few. You know, Eureka is a very multicultural city. It is more multicultural and diverse than any of the surrounding cities. It is also at Eureka High. Eureka High is also many cultures. It's a very multicultural school. It's more of a challenge to reach and communicate effectively to all the cultures that are Eureka High. But it is better. It is a better challenge, and it is a worthy challenge. And really, Brian, as a graduate that graduates from Eureka High, it's more reflective of society itself. And so I've always felt, as one who has his fourth child graduating from Eureka High, that our students get a more effective and authentic look at what real life looks like by being a graduate of Eureka High.
And just for a little plug, where's your son been accepted to?
Well, he's been accepted to...
His mom's home.
He's been accepted to several of the UCs and Cal Poly, and he has received a congressional nomination for the United States Naval Academy. So we're heading back to Navy to see if that's really what he wants to do next week.
Oh, very cool. See, Fred, you got a bar to jump over there, a parent.
Brian, I guess what I could say is, along with our other students, I'm a satisfied customer, and that's why I advocate for Eureka City Schools.
More information on the website and all that kind of stuff, Fred?
There is, and I just want to really quickly, St. Bernard's conversation, there is two high schools in Eureka, and they're fully on board and understand that we're doing this and don't have a problem with it.
Join us tomorrow morning for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you then.